Good morning. Happy New Year, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. Gang's all back together for the new year. TJ Lang will join us in the 9 o'clock hour on today's show. We're talking all about the Lions season now that it's over. Officially. Yeah, we knew they couldn't make the playoffs going into yesterday's game. They won, and that may have left you feeling a certain type of way. We'll keep exploring our feelings today, John. But let's talk about the reality of this. The number one reason the Lions missed the playoffs. As the dust settles, what would you say the number one reason is?
I mean, and I know Brendan had it in maybe it was the first update in regards to the games that they were able to rush for over 100 yards or won the rushing battle. They were, 9-1?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge part of this offense. For this offense to operate at maximum efficiency, you've got to be able to run the football. You've got to be able to protect the quarterback. Well, if you run the ball, it's much easier to protect your quarterback. And I mentioned this last year when the season was over and we got a chance to look back, they ran the ball 51% of the time. Of the times that they passed, they also were in play action pass 50% of the time. So 75% of the time, you're allowing your offensive line to be the aggressor. That is an offense I would have died to play in for just one year.
Well, explain that to people, because as a pass blocker,
you're running backwards while the defender is running forwards. It's a disadvantage. And yeah, there are things that you can do to get an advantage. But if those are the numbers and you're able to fire off the ball, whether it's to sell run and ultimately your pass blocking or to actually be the aggressor in run blocking, it makes your life so much easier.
Look, the stat that Brendan gave is probably going to be true for a lot of teams. Typically, the winning team runs for more yards because they're playing with a lead running the clock out. So those stats aren't always a perfect indicator, but I do think it's perfect to describe this football team. This football team's identity is wrapped around the idea that they manhandle you at the line of scrimmage, reset that line of scrimmage 3, 4, 5 yards down the field, and a back like Montgomery is going to fall forward. A back like Gibbs is going to get that crease, and it's going to be an explosive. Too many times this year, they couldn't reset the line of scrimmage. They couldn't run the football. And whatever the numbers say, it's a down in and down out issue. It just wasn't there reliably. It wasn't there when they needed it in big spots. And the result was they couldn't convert as many of those third and fourth downs. They weren't as good in those money downs.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't as good as they had been. And it put Jared Goff in a position where he had to be a superhero. And he actually played fairly well this season. But it's
I think
just
he played not, really well this
but it's
season.
Just not a formula that's going to lead to many wins for this football team.
No. And, I mean, there's plenty of things you could talk about defensively.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to win the rushing battle, but part of that battle is being able to stop the run. And the one place where they did not suffer injuries is in the front seven.
Right. And think about this too, John. You can help a defense by keeping them off the field. Well, how do you sustain TOP? I mean, you can convert some passes, but really it's about running the football. And think about it. In two of their swing games at the end of the season, the Rams game and the Steelers game, the third quarter, they hardly possess the ball. Then they have negative 3 yards in the third quarter against the Steelers. They left their defense out to dry. And against the Rams, that game was a shootout. They had to keep up. Their third quarter stalled out. They couldn't move the ball. If you can't possess it, you're only going to put your defense in a bad spot. And it's not like this defense was the 85 Bears.
Right. And some of it is, okay, you can even win the time of possession, but you look and you're like, oh, man, the defense looks tired. When you go 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out.
Yep.
And the defense is back on the field 2 minutes after they just got off the field. And then you allow, the opponent's offense to go on a 10-play drive. And then all of a sudden, hey, your offense, just get a first down. They're unable to. And then you're back on the field in another 2 minutes. Like, it's, you could still win the time of possession, but it's how it's all sequenced.
Yeah. They're sequencing. They couldn't be that team consistently. And I think it all distills back to they need to be able to run the football better.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other reasons they missed the playoffs, and we'll collect those on the phones and the text. 248-539-9797. How big a deal are, because I know we're going to get these texts and these calls, how big a deal in your mind are the injuries?
Well, they're a factor. They're always going to be a factor. But then you look and you see a team like San Francisco, who defensively, they were brutalized. Their number one linebacker, gone. Their number one edge rusher, gone. I would argue that they had more impactful players gone than the Lions had.
Yeah.
And they still were able to find ways to make stops. Now, ultimately, they didn't win their division, but they were in a much tougher division.
Yeah, and they're still playing.
Yeah.
And they were playing for the one seed in the final week of the season.
Yeah.
With losing Bosa and Warner, and they missed Purdy for a good chunk of the season, their starting quarterback. How many teams are going to miss their starting quarterback for more than a month and make the playoffs?
Yeah.
I mean, it just shows you. Like, how about Pittsburgh when they played here? Their left side of their offensive line were backup players, and they're running 40-yard chunk plays on us with Jack Campbell and Aiden Hutchinson and Aleem McNeil all playing.
Yeah, I mean, so there are a lot more factors other than just being able to run the football. But for this offense and for this team, the way it's constructed, their path to victory, you've got to be able to run the football.
I mean, I totally agree, the trenches, but I can't get past 0-4 against the Packers and Vikings. That's why we're sitting here today in this situation.
Yeah.
You can break it down to why did that happen. I was alarmed by the first game by how the Packers physically dominated the Lions.
I think everybody was.
Yeah.
And I think the Vikings and Packers over the last couple of years have built themselves to beat the Lions.
Yes.
And that needs to change big time.
But it's interesting. They've done it differently. Like, their defenses are very different.
Yes.
Minnesota is your aggressive blitzing, zero blitzes, stunts, twists, games, mugging up on the line of scrimmage. Green Bay, especially when they had Parsons, were a team that would zone you, drop back. But both of them are clearly designed to beat the Lions.
Yeah, and make the Lions work it down the field slowly.
Yes.
And I think the whole grit and physicality thing is definitely brought up in preparation by those two teams. When they're preparing for the Lions, they're saying, hey, this is what this team's all about. They think they're more physical than you. They think they're going to grind you out play by play. And I think the Vikings and Packers have totally matched them in that. So that mirage has gone away now. Now it's about talent and scheming back against them. They have to counter. Those teams have answered the Lions' call, and now the Lions need to counter it back.
Yeah, the Lions aren't outworking the other teams at this point. Like, and some of this is you go from being the hunter to the hunted.
Mm-hmm.
You go from being the underdog, and you play that card, but then you win 15 games. You get a tough schedule. You get everybody's best shot. And if you're not up to the challenge of out-physicaling people anymore, or they have raised their level to meet you, suddenly you get caught. I think that shows up the most, though, in the run game, to take it all back to that, right? I mean, that's where you really form the physical identity of a football team.
Yeah. And when you're talking about being able to convert on third downs or making those third down, you know, conversions, you know you're going to go for it on fourth down. When do you want to be able to be at your best in the run game? Fourth and one, fourth and two. And that's where this team really struggled.
Number one reason they missed the playoffs. Guys, I know we need a bunch of content for you to babble on and on about. However, the number one reason why they didn't make the playoffs was officiating. The real conversation is what they need to do to go. The real conversation is what they need to do in order to have a team that's worthy of going deep in the playoffs, as this team wasn't going to win a Super Bowl. But the station doesn't want to have real conversations. Word soup. Huh. This from the guy that thinks officiating kept the Lions out of the playoffs? Okay.
There's a lot of different reasons why the Lions are where they are right now.
But you wouldn't put officiating near the top of the list.
No, I wouldn't even put that on the list.
Okay, good. We got phone calls to get to, more of your text. Right now, just talking about why they're not in the playoffs. The number one reason the Lions didn't make the playoffs, and we focused on offensive line and run game as the identity and the toughness of this football team. And it bared out in the games they won versus the games they lost. But there's more than one reason this team missed the playoffs. So, some of your thoughts. Guys, the number one reason is our center position. How we lost Frank and not having a replacement. So many other factors, but that is number one. I think when you combo meal it too with losing Zeitler and having to replace him with a rookie.
Yeah.
Not that Ratledge couldn't turn into a good football player, but having the domino effect, I think that really hurt. And then it's not like Mahogany was all that experienced at the left guard spot.
Right. And injured for a large part of the season when they needed him the most.
Guys, the Lions missed the playoffs because of, all caps, arrogance. Brad Holmes and Dan Gamble's were good. I do think they fell in love with their own, John.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see, because they're going to have to do business differently in regards to the salary cap. Salary caps, first of all, they're going to have to make some adjustments with whether it's obviously with Jared Goff's contract. Yes. probably some other ones to clear up cap space. And if they do, a guy that played really well but isn't being paid yet is Roy Lopez.
Right.
And did he play himself out of being able to stay in Detroit because Detroit just can't afford him?
Maybe.
You know, I mean, and it's not like he's going to break the bank, but he'll probably get $6 or $7 a year.
And every dollar is going to be tighter for Detroit now. Plus, there's guys that they're going to want to extend from their own group of guys, right? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about Jack Campbell.
Yeah, great year.
Right? Jahmyr Gibbs, a fifth-year option pickup. Do they want to roll? I mean, here's the thing. They're locking these guys up a couple years early, taking care of their own, but they can't do it through the draft alone.
And what's the status of Kirby Joseph?
Right.
Is his injury... Is he done?
Right. And look, you can get out from under that deal, but not for another year or two.
Right.
There's going to be dead cap associated if they want to move out from any of these guys. So they've made it harder on themselves. I think they fell in love with their own. They took care of their own. The answers on the trenches were we got our own guys. The coordinator promotions were guys that were in the family, guys they were familiar with. He uses the word arrogance, but I mean, I agree with the sentiment that they fell in love with their own.
Yeah, but let's go back and say, you know, okay, when they signed Aleem McNeil, mm-hmm. was that a good signing?
Yeah, nobody complained about that. Yeah.
At that time. Now, we didn't know he was going to tear his ACL. We didn't know he was going to be a non-factor this year. Kirby Joseph, that's the one where I look at it and go, I don't know that I would have done that, knowing that Brian Branch.
Also dealing with an injury.
Yeah, I know. And Jamo, like... There are a few of them that raised an eyebrow, and now we're going to have to see how they manage the cap along with paying, you know, and fulfilling the commitments to those contracts.
There's more to juggle. Biggest reason the Lions missed the playoffs, Brad Holmes. Guys, when the Lions had the better offensive line, the Packers and the Vikings couldn't touch us. A young line with issues led to 4 losses against those 2 teams. Guys, we went from a team that ran it down your throat with Montgomery to just trying to be explosive with Gibbs. Dan got caught up with big plays and what looks good instead of punishing people and eating the clock. Well, I don't think they could run it consistently enough.
Right, and that goes to your O-line issues. I mean, when Dan took over the offense, it was markedly better. Now, do I want him to be the offensive coordinator moving forward? No, I don't think that's the best path forward. But ultimately, the reason that they were in this position was because they couldn't stop anyone.
Too many people are overreacting to the Lions season, 2 games away from having the 2 seed. Also have to watch a team with a losing record host a playoff game. It's how the NFL goes.
Yes, but then you look and say, okay, well, where are those 2 games? The easiest ones to pick out are the 2 losses to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And those are certainly frustrating. And you look at the losses, okay, at the time, Kansas City loss. Nobody really thought that was a bad loss because there were some good wins before that, the way that they handled Baltimore in Baltimore. Like it does all even out. And then you get towards the end of the season, it's the 2 losses to Minnesota and the Pittsburgh loss. Those are the ones that eat at you.
Yeah, and that's why I would say they earned sitting home.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't like they were wronged or they got like a bad break. They didn't play well enough. They weren't good enough. And it took us a while to reach that conclusion because we thought, you know, hey, rattling around somewhere in there, they would have put together a couple wins at the end of the season, and that's all it would have taken. They just weren't good enough. 248-539-9797. In terms of, like, how far away are they? I know we'll do more of that this week. One big boost is that last play schedule.
Sure.
I think the Bears benefited from it. I think the Patriots benefited from it. The fact that the Lions next year play the Jets, Giants, Cardinals, bunch of bottom feeder Saints.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly like that.
Yeah. And again, it won't be enough if they don't do more up front, but it does give them a bounce back path.
You're still going to always have to win in your division. And 2-4 in your division is not going to get it done.
There is a bounce back path for this team, but they got to put the work in. They'll also play the Titans next year. All right, let's get to the phones. James in White Lake. James, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to say a pleasure to listen to you guys all season. It's been awesome.
Thanks.
I wanted to get your guys' take on, you guys mentioned the offensive line, even an extension of that, losing Sam and Brock Wright within the span of 3 weeks, I think was hyper detrimental to this team. What do you guys think?
I think it's a smart phone call. It's an extension of the run game, right?
Yeah, Sam LaPorta and his ability as a run blocker, not just as a major target for Jared Goff. Jared Goff was able to overcome that. It would have been much easier for him and more productive if LaPorta had been there. But I think the run game, whether it's his backside cutoffs or it's being able to set the edge on the front side, like I think that was a major factor.
And they lost them both pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And one after another. That stuff matters. It's. I mean, they started running more Dan Skipper and jumbo sets, and those are compromises you make. You're just not as dynamic of an offense.
Yeah.
Let's get to Jermaine in Rochester. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, I think the number one thing that I think that we're just, well, I think we're looking at it, but it's coaching. I mean, I think a lot of these games, especially the Minnesota ones, we can say, Lions got outcoached. And I think it's, a lot of it is because, you know, Dan had a lot on his plate. But the fact of the matter is, I think the Lions were built after last year, 16-1. They put the league on notice. They were the top dogs. We know how to bite kneecaps. We know how to fight from the bottom. But when you're fighting from the top, it's a little different. When people are scheming against you, the entire league, because you were the top dog, even though you didn't make it, you have one of the most potent offenses. They didn't know how to counter that. I liken it to back in the day with the Pistons with Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle put the Pistons on top, but we got rid of him to bring Larry Brown in to teach him how to win once they were top dogs. And I think we're looking at the same thing. And I'm not saying Fardner, absolutely not.
I guess that's going to be my follow-up.
They just need to look at how they're coaching.
Well, and I have coordinator spots, right? Are they going to bring in an offensive coordinator as a play caller to take that off of Dan's plate? Will he consider a change at DC if a more experienced upgrade is available? I mean, these are ways that Dan could make his coaching staff better.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is very much like year one of Dan Campbell with Anthony Lynn. John Morton is probably not long for the Detroit area, and he is going to bring in an offensive coordinator. I would anticipate that being a top move for Dan Campbell.
Guys, coaching was the reason they didn't make the playoffs. Rod in Bama, so he echoes that last caller. Coaching on both sides of the ball from an unnamed texter. The third quarter is why the Lions aren't in the playoffs. It must have been nap time at halftime.
Well, it, obviously, against the Rams, against Pittsburgh, that's really what bit them in the backside. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to come out and do something in the third quarter.